Let's turn, brethren, to Romans chapter 8. Our text this morning is verses 35 through 39 of this chapter. We're going to pick up the reading in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. And there the Apostle Paul writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And here begins our text to the end of the chapter for this morning. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And may the Lord bless to us his reading, the reading of his word, but also our consideration of those verses 35 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. Who, or we might even say what, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, this is the question that Paul put to his readers. You'll notice that he then goes on and continues, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Is it possible that such things could separate us from the love of Christ? Could those things drive a wedge between the believer and Jesus Christ? Could tribulation, could distress, could persecution, could famine, could nakedness, could peril, could sword destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the issue that Paul is addressing here. And Paul here declares with absolute certainty, nay, no, in all these things, in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, in sword, we, he says, are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other words, in the very midst of such things, in the very midst of experiencing such things, while we are even enduring such things, Paul tells us here that we are able to triumph. We are able to have the victory. We are conquerors, says Paul. Those things cannot conquer us. They cannot sever, notwithstanding how difficult and how trying they may be, they cannot sever our relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul tells us here we're not just conquerors, but we are in fact more than conquerors. We are those who do have the victory. We are those who are enabled to triumph over every obstacle and over every enemy. None of those things have the ability to subdue us, to overcome us, to alienate us from the love of Jesus Christ, to destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ. Those things, as difficult and as trying as they are, cannot rob us of our faith. They cannot destroy our hope. We are the victors. Those things cannot have the victory over us. Indeed, we do not simply have the victory over those things, but those things actually serve to augment our faith, to increase our strength, and to expand our love for Jesus Christ. That's the message that Paul is conveying to us here in our text. Paul's reference to the fact that as believers we are more than conquerors brings home to us a fundamental aspect of the Christian life. Christian life is a life of conflict. It's a life in which we are engaged in a battle, a spiritual battle. Our enemies are spiritual enemies, and our enemies are intent on doing us harm. And if possible, they would destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ. Leading and orchestrating the attack upon us is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And he, along with his spiritual minions, seeks the spiritual destruction of the people of God. He seeks our eternal and spiritual ruin. And he pursues that goal by endeavouring to separate us or to sever our connection with Jesus Christ. And in order to achieve that end, Satan employs a vast arsenal of weapons. His weapons of choice include tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. The issue that Paul addresses in our text this morning, brethren, is this. Is it possible that tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, is it possible that those things can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Brethren, listen and take heart from the comforting words of our text. Nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I've given our sermon this morning the title, Can Anyone or Anything Separate Us from the Love of Christ? Divide the sermon under these three headings: the glorious truth, secondly, the firm foundation, and finally, the personal persuasion. Nay, in all these things, we read in verse 37, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as we've noted already, Paul really in those words proclaims the spiritual security of the believer in the face of the most distressing, pressing, and difficult circumstances that we may ever encounter in this life. What Paul declares here is that there is nothing, there's no one, no thing that can separate the believer from the love of Jesus Christ. Such is the nature and strength of that relationship that exists between the believer and Jesus Christ. Nay, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And the reference there to all these things takes us back to verses 35 and 36, where Paul actually, through a rhetorical question, sets out and lists what all these things actually are. There in verses 35 and 36, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he points to or suggests a number of things that might be thought to have the potential to separate the believer from the love of Christ. And so he goes on to ask, shall tribulation, and by tribulation he means simply trouble, so trouble, distress, the idea again there is of anxiety, shall trouble or anxiety, persecution, famine, and by that he is referring to the scarcity of the necessity of the things that we need for this life, nakedness, being destitute of the material things necessary for life, peril, there he's referring to things that cause us to fear, to be in danger, sword, the threat of death, and even of death itself. And he says, can any of those things, as serious and as significant as they may prove to be in our lives, and we ought not to underestimate that those things are serious and they are significant, and they do actually have a very significant effect upon the life even of the child of God. Can any of those things separate the believer from the love of Christ? And Paul follows up that list that he gives there in verse 36 by also quoting from Psalm 44 and verse 22, which speaks of the daily experience of the believer. We read there in verse 36, as it is written, it's written in Psalm 44 and verse 22, as it is written, for thy sake, that is for God's sake, for the cause of Christ's sake, we are killed or put to death all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Just as sheep were routinely slaughtered every day, so too the believer is routinely and repeatedly put to death every day. Not physically, we're not put to death physically every day, but believers are being put to death every day, in that they are being slaughtered every day in the hearts and the minds of their enemies. And in the hearts and the minds of their enemies, believers are actually being put to death. They're being assailed every day, being assailed on account of their faith and their love and their relationship with Jesus Christ. We may not realize that, we may not even be always privy to that, but that is what is taking place every day. And the question posed by Paul is this: is it possible that such difficulties, is it possible that the circumstances and the trials of this life, is it possible that all of the things that the child of God endures in this life, all of those things outlined in verses 35 and 36, is it possible that those things which are real, and those things which the believers actually experience, is it possible for those things to actually separate us from Jesus Christ? More personally, we could ask ourselves the question, is it possible that those things can separate you or me from the love of Christ? Could those things sever our relationship with our Saviour? Could those things destroy our faith? Could they rob us of our hope? The love of Christ here refers primarily, it would seem, to the love of Christ for us, and not so much our love for him. Could those things separate us from the love of Christ for us, is the question that Paul asks. Now, having said that, it should be appreciated that the love of Christ for us, of course, also produces in us a love in us for him. So that our love for Christ is not altogether out of the picture here. Paul's concern is to address the question, is there anything that can destroy the relationship that exists between a believer and Jesus Christ? Is there anyone or anything that can destroy the relationship established and grounded in Christ's love for us? What he's really asking is whether the difficulties and the stresses and the issues, all the problems and the trials of life, as severe as those things actually are, can those things actually destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ? An emphatic answer comes in verse 37. Nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nay, notwithstanding all of the pressures and trials that you and I as believers encounter every day, none of those things can separate us from the love of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Paul here in fact informs us that we are more than conquerors with respect to all those things that he lists there in verses 35 and 36. We are more than conquerors with respect to tribulation, with respect to distress, with respect to persecution, with respect to famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. None of those things, not even the severest of trials, not even the most painful of events, not even the greatest discouragements and hardships can sever the living relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and us as believers. Such is the nature and security of that relationship. The relationship between the believer and Jesus Christ is an unbreakable relationship. It's a divinely instituted and maintained relationship. It cannot be severed. We may suffer greatly. We may endure very real and severe trials. We may be sorely tested. At times all may appear hopeless. We may even succumb to doubts and fears, to uncertainty and bewilderment. We may even backslide in our faith. We may even wander from the path of righteousness for a time. But nothing, no thing, no one can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul declares here in the plainest terms the glorious doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. We are more than conquerors with respect to even the severest of trials, the greatest of hurts, and the greatest of spiritual assaults. As those held in the embrace of Jesus Christ, as those united to Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, as those who enjoy a living connection to Jesus Christ, as those who have been grafted into the vine, we cannot be separated from the love of Christ. It's impossible. We are more than conquerors. We have the victory over all of those things, over all of those trials and tribulations, or over all of those hurts and distresses of life. Note that we are more than conquerors, also over those things that Paul references in verses 38 and 39 of our text. There he actually says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." None of those things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of those things, as hard and as difficult as those things may be, that can do that. That's the detail there. He says not even death can separate the believer from the love of Christ. Death, of course, is the last great enemy. It's even the last great enemy of the people of God. Indeed, it's the final inescapable enemy. And death, of course, in many aspects is ugly. It involves the tearing apart of body and soul, and it results in separation from those that we know and love. Death, as we know, is the consequence of sin. The word of God to Adam was, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And from the moment that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they began to die. And death is the just reward for sin. The wages of sin is death. And the wages of sin earns not only death in the body, but also spiritual and eternal death. And the ugliness of death is seen in everything that pertains to it, in the pain and suffering that accompanies it, in the sense of loss that is part of it, in the distress and the sorrows and the disappointments and fears that are part and parcel of it. But none of those things, as great as they may be, none of those things, we're told here, is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The believer is more than a conqueror, even with respect to death. And the believer is, we're told here, more than a conqueror also with respect to life. The reference here to life is to this natural and temporal life in which we find ourselves and all that's involved in it. And so life here refers to all of the sorrows and the hardships, the ups and the downs of life, the discouragements, the disappointments, the physical trials, the mental anguish, the trials of body and soul, the pain of heart and mind, all of the things that belong to this valley of tears in which we live. But this life and all that belongs to it, no matter how severe, no matter how distressing, no matter how difficult, is able, we're told here, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And moreover, the believer, we're told, is more than a conqueror with respect to angels and principalities and powers. And Paul here, with reference to those things, is referring really to the fallen angels, to the world of demons, those angels who, along with Satan, rebelled against God and were cast out of heaven, those angels who are the minions of Satan and who do his bidding and who seek to destroy and to harm the people of God. Paul speaks of such principalities and powers in that well-known passage in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12, where he tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And those principalities and powers that Paul refers to there in Ephesians chapter 6 reference the ranks of the fallen angels. The demons possess genuine power. they serve the interests of Satan. And it's evident from the book of Job that the fallen angels are directly involved in many of the miseries and trials that believers experience in this life. The minions of Satan wage spiritual warfare against the people of God. In many instances, in fact, they're the instruments by which the evil of this life is visited upon the children of God. God is sovereign. Nothing happens apart from him. But he does allow Satan and his host to test and try his people. Recall Job chapter 1 verse 12, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power," says God to Satan. "Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." As powerful and as formidable as those beings are, not even the demons, not even the fallen angels, not even Satan himself is able to separate the believer from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors with respect to angels, with respect to principalities, with respect to powers. Next, Paul mentions also things present and things to come. Things present refer to present evils, to the afflictions and the troubles of this present life. The truth is, afflictions and troubles are the natural companions of believers in this world. It's impossible even for the believer to escape such things. However, afflictions and troubles belong not only to the present, but they will also continue to manifest themselves into the future. And that is what Paul means when he makes reference to the things to come. He's referring there to the evils and the afflictions and the troubles that are yet to be encountered by us. You see, Satan and his host will never cease to assail the people of God. Afflictions and troubles will always be part of our life in this world. Indeed, we encounter those things every day. And the truth is that those things can prove to be immensely discouraging. But note, nothing, no affliction, no trouble, whether present or future, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul then goes on to say, "Nor height nor depth." And the reference there to height would appear to be to honour and prosperity. No honour or prosperity. No depth. And the reference there is to extreme poverty. So you have the two, the extreme prosperity and on the other hand, extreme poverty. Neither height nor depth. Neither prosperity nor poverty will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then, in case he's not covered everything in what he said to date, Paul concludes with the all-encompassing words, "any other creature." Those words, "any other creature," could actually be translated, "anything created." In other words, what Paul is saying here is nothing in the whole of the created order, nothing in the entire created universe is actually able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such is the nature and strength and basis of that relationship. Contemplating all these events and circumstances, the fallen angels, all those things that belong to the trials and tribulations of this world, as we contemplate all of those things that might actually be thought to have potentially the capacity to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Paul declares, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. As you look at that list of things that Paul sets out there, all of the trials and the hardships of life and all of the things that come upon us in this life, the things that are distressing, discouraging, it might be thought, might humanly be thought, that those things could actually sever our relationship with Jesus Christ. But Paul here says that that's not true. What he says here is that nothing, absolutely nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. And brethren, that may not always appear to be true to us. It certainly does not always feel or appear to be the case. Often we feel as though we have been conquered, we've been defeated. But nay, no. We are conquerors, we are victors. We have the victory over all those things that have the potential to rob us of our faith and to destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ. Those things cannot prevail over us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is assured, it's unassailable. Despite appearances, despite what at times we may feel, our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ is secure and certain. We are conquerors, we are victors. And brethren, it's true, we often struggle to appreciate that truth. We often struggle to apply that truth to our own lives and to our own thinking. We fail, we fall short. Often we are spiritually feeble. The things of this life do seem at times to overwhelm us. And even in our own eyes, we perhaps see ourselves as in many respects pathetic. We sin, not just once, but repeatedly. The issues and the trials of our lives discourage us. And at times we might even wonder whether those things actually don't have the victory over us. Our faith is not what we would desire it to be. Our love for Christ is often weak. Our confidence in him is easily shaken. We fail to seek, to trust, and to rely upon him as we ought. Our relationship with him at times appears tenuous. That's reflected in our own Christian walk and life. It's reflected in our prayer life. It's reflected in our reading of the scriptures, in our meditation upon the scriptures. It's reflected in every aspect of our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is not what it should be. In truth, at times our spiritual life appears almost to be non-existent. Too often we are lukewarm Christians. Our love for God and for Jesus Christ rises barely above a flicker. Too often we're more concerned about self, about our problems, about our needs, our wants, about the things of this world than we are about our relationship with Jesus Christ. The truth is that too often we are fearful, doubtful, anxious creatures. Fearful of the present, anxious about the future, distrusting of God's promises. The truth is our lives are frequently a spiritual mess. We see that in our relationships. We see that in our relationships within our families, our relationships with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, with our parents, with our fellow saints. Often all of those relationships leave much to be desired. And we know it. And we know that we should do something about it or about those things. But the truth is we do little or nothing to put those relationships on a more biblical and sound footing. And the truth is, for every believer, the Christian life is a struggle. And at times it's full of disappointments and it's marked by discouragement. But brethren, contrary to what we perhaps even experience in our own lives, contrary to what we perhaps even feel, and contrary to what Satan and the world might suggest to us, as those who trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, we are more than conquerors. We have the victory over anything and everything that might separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You could put it in another way. We are actually safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. Notice that this is a present reality. We read here, we are more than conquerors. Present tense, we are more than conquerors. Paul does not write, we shall be more than conquerors. But he writes, we are more than conquerors. Right now, at this very moment, we are more than conquerors. This is not only a future possibility for us, but it is a present reality for every child of God. Notice too, we are not just conquerors. We are conquerors, we are victors. But notice that Paul declares that we are more than conquerors. What does he mean when he speaks about being more than conquerors? As believers, we are more than conquerors in that even now, we have the assurance of victory in the battle. The truth is, the battle is not over. Now, the battle, the spiritual battle in which we are engaged, is still raging all around us. We are engaged in that battle even today as we sit here in the midst of church. Satan is still seeking to destroy us, and many things are being employed by him to assail us, and indeed to discourage us and to dishearten us and to cause us to, in fact, to abandon the Christian walk and life. And that battle, that spiritual battle, will continue until the day we are taken to be with the Lord in glory. But already we have the assurance that we are victorious. Yes, we fight. Yes, we wage war. But we do so in the assured and certain knowledge that we have the victory. We are more than conquerors. And we're more than conquerors not simply because our ultimate triumph is assured, but because even now, notwithstanding all of the afflictions and the trials and the discouragement that come our way, notwithstanding the powers that are actually arrayed against us, truth is that all things are actually working for us. We read in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for us, or rather work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A conqueror is one who defeats the enemy. One who is more than a conqueror not only defeats the enemy, but has the enemy serve their interests. So the enemy, in fact, becomes unwittingly a source of help. Even the enemies against whom we fight, even the trials and distresses of our lives, all those things that Satan marshals against us, all those things are actually working for us. Doesn't mean we enjoy them, doesn't mean that we desire them, but the reality is that all of those things, all of the distresses, all of the trials, all of the problems, all of the things that make our life at times miserable, all of those things are actually serving our eternal good. God uses those things. God is working in and through those things for our sake. And despite Satan's intended purpose, all those things serve our spiritual and eternal good. Satan, the world of sin, the trials and the tribulations, every enemy that's actually seeking our destruction actually serves our good. Every tribulation, every distress, every persecution, every famine, every naked aspect of nakedness, and every peril and every sword all serve our spiritual and eternal good. Then we are more than conquerors, not just victors, but we're more than victors. Everything serves our interests. And that, of course, brethren, is not as a result of who and what we are. As Paul states, we are more than conquerors, not on account of what we have done or who we are. He says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors only ever and through Jesus Christ. We're only conquerors, indeed more than conquerors, in and through him that loved us. It's only as we are spiritually connected to Jesus Christ that we can ever be more than conquerors, or that we can ever be conquerors for that matter. It's through Jesus Christ, it's through him that loved us and who loves us, that we are more than conquerors. Jesus Christ is the foundation, the ground, the source of our victory. Our connection with him, our spiritual connection with him, is what enables us to be more than conquerors. Notice that our text speaks of the love of God and the love of Christ. Verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And verse 39, it speaks there of being separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's clear from what Paul says here that both in a way the love of God and the love of Christ in many respects are synonymous, essentially one and the same. The triune God loved his people before the world began. He loved us in Jesus Christ, and he still loves us, and he will love us to all eternity. And his love for his people is unchangeable. It was that love of God that saw him send his only begotten Son into this world to die for sinners such as we. Through him God loved us. And through him it was that our sins were forgiven at the cross of Calvary. At Calvary, the love of Christ and the love of God were manifested in all their glory. At Calvary, God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. At Calvary, the love of God was seen in the death of his Son. It was seen also in his raising of his Son from the dead to sit at his right hand, where he now makes intercession for us. It's through the love of Jesus Christ manifest at Calvary that we as believers enjoy all the blessings of salvation. It's on account of what he did at Calvary that we know the forgiveness of our sins. It's through what he did at Calvary that we are adopted into the family of God. We become the sons and daughters of the living God. It's on account of what he did at Calvary that we have membership in and fellowship in the covenant of God's grace. It's on account of what he did at the cross that we are assured of everlasting life in the presence of God and of his Son. What a love. What a love that we as believers enjoy. Love before the world began. Love throughout the ages of this world. Loved at the cross. Love now. Loved for all eternity. And think of that. A love that we haven't deserved and that we haven't merited. It's the love of God, the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ that enables us to be more than conquerors. You know, brethren, we could not conquer anything in our own strength and power. We only need to look at our own lives and the attempts that we make at times to actually conquer things in our own strength to realize that we don't have the ability to do that. Left to our own devices, we would always be decisively defeated. We're no match for Satan and his minions. Left to ourselves, the afflictions and trials of this life quickly overwhelm us. Left to ourselves, we are anything but conquerors. But we are conquerors. Indeed, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The love of God and the love of Christ for us are such that they sustain us in all the circumstances, in all the trials and all the stresses, in all the difficulties of this life. They uphold us in our afflictions. They uphold us in every hardship of life. They uphold us in the midst of every heartache and hurt. The love of God and the love of Christ preserve and protect us against the assaults of Satan. They undergird us when everything that seems could go wrong does go wrong. And our hearts and minds are overwhelmed by the issues of life. When the burdens of this life seem too much for us, God in his love upholds and sustains us. Reminds us of those words of Moses in Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath, we are told, are the everlasting arms. The love of God and the love of Christ enable us to be more than conquerors. Do we deserve that? Have we merited that? No. We are more than conquerors on account of God's grace, on account of the unmerited favour of God. None of us deserve to be more than conquerors. None of us deserve even to be conquerors. The truth is, we actually deserve to be conquered. Such is the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love which in truth is beyond our comprehension. On account of that love, notwithstanding our weakness and our helplessness, we are more than conquerors. Brethren, finally, notice this morning that Paul was personally persuaded of these things. He begins our text by saying, "For I am persuaded, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is something that Paul personally experienced. He knew it. in his own heart and mine. And brethren, we can know that in our hearts and minds as well. Paul knew the tribulation and distress and all of those other things that he enumerates in the text. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth. No other thing in this universe or this created order had the power to separate him from the love of God and the love of his Saviour. And brethren, all of those things perhaps at times seem to have the potential to separate us from the love of Christ, to destroy our faith, to sever our connection with Jesus Christ. But Paul was absolutely convinced, Paul knew that those things could never destroy the spiritual bond that existed between him and Jesus Christ. Paul was persuaded. He knew that whatever might occur in his life, whatever enemy he was called to face, and in whatever guise that enemy came, and if you know anything about the life of Paul, you know that Paul confronted many enemies, and they came to him in many forms. But those things could not separate him from the love of his Saviour. This persuasion did not arise, so far as Paul was concerned, from any special or extraordinary revelation. It was a gift of God to him. And it's a gift that God gives also to believers today. Brethren, you and I as believers, may also be persuaded, just as Paul was persuaded, of these things. Brethren, let us live day by day in the consciousness and joy of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. It's real. Be assured of Christ's love for you. His love is real. It's unchangeable. It's unassailable. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be, but we are more than conquerors for him that loved us. Remind yourself of that as today, tomorrow, in the course of this week, in the weeks and the months and the years that the Lord gives you. Remind yourself of that as you encounter the different trials and afflictions of this life. Remind yourself that on account of the love of Jesus Christ, you have the victory over every enemy that ever comes your way. Brethren, with Paul, you and I can say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Brethren, let us live day by day with that truth written upon our hearts and minds. In all these things, in all of the struggles and all of the difficulties and all of the crises and all of the trials of life, the reality is that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Let's stand for a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we reflect upon the words of Paul here in Romans chapter 8, it seems almost beyond comprehension that that we should be able to be persuaded that all things, though they may be difficult and trying, that they will not have the victory over us. We can't be separated from the love of our Saviour Jesus Christ. And what an extraordinary comfort that is to us in the midst of all that the time goes on in life. Sometimes we just got no idea how we can grapple with and deal with and cope with the seemingly unending series of the difficulties and trials that seem to flow over us. And left to ourselves, we would openly acknowledge that we just can't cope. But Lord, let us remind ourselves that on account of our Saviour Jesus Christ, on account of his love for us, we are more than conquerors. Everything, even those difficulties and the trials that we are struggling to cope with, all those things are actually working for our eternal and spiritual good. So Lord, our prayer is, in the midst of our lives, minister to our hearts by thy word this morning. Amen.